Roland, over the last, we haven't had one of these over the last couple of weeks, so I'm going to go back to my observations from the middle of the crowd. I have a few thoughts as I stand with all of you right there in the middle, and it's on two matters. One, both historic, the other, a matter of emotion. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we actually played it, the song, now I'm losing it for just a moment, Glenn Campbell's song, I love you, but I'm not going to miss you. And it's because he has Alzheimer's. And Tim McGraw sang that song on the Oscars and brought, and it's very, very difficult to bring a house like that with all of those heads banging into each other to absolute silence. And there was a difference in silence because I spoke to one of the production crew there. The theater itself was absolute, and there were tears everywhere, absolutely silent. It's very hard to do that. There was no coughing, no one going up to go to the bathroom. Everyone just sat there and listened to it. He took the song to a new level. And bless him for that, because it means so much. The song did not win, but it was nominated in the category of documentary for music. And a remarkable song, but it got people's attention. And I understand it's now selling off the iTunes charts, and it should.
Good.
Because I'm not going to miss you. Wonderful. And another thought, you know I'm an historical buff. And I've often wondered in my readings about the Black Death, which killed 35 to 40 million people at the time over a 150-year period from 1345 to around the 1500s.
Is that the same thing as the plague?
Yes.
Okay.
And they always blamed, there's a reason why this research fascinated me. They thought, and they were pretty sure science was, that were fleas on rats that came off the ships from Asia. And now they're saying that is not the case. It was the giant gerbil. How do you like that? The Central Asian gerbil.
There is a giant gerbil?
Well, I don't know how big the giant is, probably the size of a rat. Okay, but it's a gerbil. And it, apparently those fleas, because they are different, the flea infestation is different, okay, from the blood of the gerbil, okay, when they infected the gerbils, or vice versa. I'm not sure how that necessarily works. But nonetheless, that is what caused the Black Death through Europe.
How did they come up with that?
They managed to get into some of the bones, DNA results from the bones of the people who died during the period of the Black Death. There are huge graves, okay? And this fascinates me because, and here's the point, they have claimed for years that Ebola came from monkeys in the African jungle. That's been the claim. Ebola, HIV virus, some of these viruses, because man has encroached upon their living space where they've had these diseases for centuries among the animals, but not amongst human. And now they're going to start relooking at that. Because this was common law for many, many years, that it was the fleas that were on the rodents that caused the Black Death. Apparently not the case. I find that fascinating. My observations from the middle of the crowd, for whatever they're worth.
How you get to fleas from the middle of the crowd is beyond me.
Because
you are a very eclectic kind of guy. Do you have stacks of books on your bedside?
Stacks.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah,
come on.
Five or six a night. I stack them up.
Well, but you don't read five or six.
I read one, and I just stack them up until I'm finished, and then I get
And do you skip around?
I skip around.
I think a lot of people do that.
Yes.
But,
I enjoy that. It's one of the pleasures of... one of the pieces of mind of life is to be able to sit quietly and read, even for just 20 minutes. And
20 minutes is a good long
and
time.
I might look at my little handheld computer where I got this information from about the gerbil thing. Got me. That was fascinating because it shows how science can go off in the wrong direction. And was very sure about this. And they were, I remember as a kid in school saying it was the rodents on the fleas on the rats that caused the Black Death.
Hmm.
And frankly, after all this time, they're now saying that's not the case. That's not the case. And that's fascinating.
It is. And I don't have any observations from the middle of the crowd. I want to stand outside.
You're standing in the balcony. You're in the balcony.
I watched a little television, which I don't do a lot, but I watched with admiration and pleasure the tribute that 60 Minutes did to correspondent Bob Simon.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
Well, you know, Simon's ethics and his courage, his intrepid curiosity are once again an inspiration for, I think, getting back to the basics of broadcast journalism. So I have some thoughts on that.
Please.
To me, the medium is no longer the message that Marshall McLuhan had over 60 years ago. Today, the medium is all pervasive, and its most visual element, television, is certainly the tribal fire of humankind.
Yes.
I think you would agree with that.
I agree.
But, you know, when you have a tribal fire like that, you can either be warmed by it or you can be burned by it. Now, I know my business, and you know your business, which is our business, our profession, our media. But sometimes we don't love it, or I don't love it. When responsibility is less than it should be, Carl, I don't love it. When brevity is more important than understanding, I don't love it. When ratings are more important than content, I don't love it. When violence is more important than beauty, I don't love it. And when profit is more important than service, I certainly don't love it.
Unfortunately, you've described the media business in America today, unfortunately. And it's hard to see a business that essentially people like you and I created. And we've been around that long.
Well, maybe you have.
You have. Well, I've been doing it since I was 12. And I can tell you that that's not the way it started. That's not the way it started. We've lost our way in our business. And I don't know how, if we will ever get it back. I'm hoping we will. Got a good crop of some good young people coming up. I lecture when I can. I see some real young stars there with quality, with integrity, with a sense of proportion. They're there. Hopefully they'll have an opportunity to make their mark.
Well, I think that the viewing public deserves better.
Yes.
And I also think that they can demand better. And once the demand is out there, I think you'll see the changes that we both hope would happen.
You asked me a couple of weeks ago why I watch reality television, and I do.
You're right.
Some of the programs, some of the real estate programs and some of the human interest programs, I watch it not so much for the programs per se, but for the watching the human condition. I watch the human condition. There's a program on by, and I can't think of her, I think her name is Stacey London, called Love... something about changing someone's dress. And I can't think of the title of it off the top of my head. But I'm fascinated by what she says and what these young women are before and then after. What
I mean, she looks at an individual and says, if you did this, this, and this, and your costume.
And she changes their makeup. They come to her, to Stacey London. I think her name is Stacey or Tracy London. She's wonderful. And she's very candid about dressing appropriately, age appropriate, that kind of thing. And I'm interested in the human condition. What the give and take between the two is fascinating. It fascinates me. Well, it does.
I was just thinking of addressing age appropriate. They'll put you in a hair shirt and maybe a smock.
I could wear the Indian cover. The Indian coverall, that nice Indian coverall they wear, the long thing. It's like a robe. It looks like
I was thinking of a loincloth for you. Certainly not the other.
But I'm fascinated by all of this stuff. I really, really am. It amazes me about when you listen to people in these programs, they're being themselves.
I know, but it's so many of them are without redeeming social value, is what they're supposed to say.
I don't watch those. I don't watch those, but I watch the ones that have some essence to them. And you can feel the human condition as it changes. I find it fascinating. I really do. Particularly the children. Children are fascinating.
I mean, this program has no redeeming social value. So we do is sit here and make up what we're talking about.
We make it up as we run. We just write it down and make it up as we go along, ladies and gentlemen. That's not true.
Well, you're right. There is some planning.
We do it over lunch before we come in and do the show. No, that's not. We work very hard to put this together.
You're letting our secrets out here.
No, but you know something? That's a good point. The human condition, as you and I, we always have our lunch before we do our broadcast. And we managed to sort out the show. Because we have a predetermined layout, what we call a clock in our business.
Right.
We lay out the clock, and we make whatever changes we have. We're going to talk about this. Here's your comments there. Our guest is coming in and all this kind of stuff. But that's part of our who you and I are.
But sometimes we don't even talk about the sometimes things we say we're going to talk
before
about.
Before we walk in the door, it all changes.
and we're constricted, too, because each segment has a specific amount of time that
That's
you
correct.
Have to deal with. And we're actually getting to the end of one of those.
Yes, we are. And we're moving on to other opportunities as we carry on. I understand there's been a request for a poem.
Really?
Yes. I hope you're prepared for it.
I am, actually.
Well, let us continue on here, and we do, and we thank you all for listening in to Smith Sabatino, Roland Smith, Carl Sabatino, as we carry on America Weekend, the Envision Radio Networks. Please stay with us. We're back.
America Weekend.
Think Green. Harrison with you. Did you know that sharing a car can save you around $250 a month? Now, if you're figuring in a full 8-hour workday, you're up to $320 a month. Imagine being able to split your monthly car payment, your monthly fill-ups, your monthly insurance, and general maintenance. Big companies like Hertz and now a newer company called Zipcar are making the necessity to own a car almost obsolete. You simply pay a monthly fee for access to a shared vehicle. Companies like Zipcar will even drop it off for you, and when you're done, you simply return it to a designated parking spot. Best part? You don't have to pay for gas, for insurance, or any maintenance of any kind. Many people in big cities have already dumped their cars for this genius green alternative. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com. Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This all-star came to the majors with big-time credentials. He was the 2000 AL Rookie of the Year and helped lead the Mariners to two league championship series where his magic wore off.
Into the gap. That's a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. Ball game.
So where is Kaz Sasaki now? Kaz abruptly left the Mariners after the 2003 season and pitched one more season in 2005 for the Yokohama Bay Stars. His affair with a Japanese actress led to a split with his pop star wife. He's been a judge on the original Iron Chef and had a pop hit in Japan called Breaking New Ground. And the Grammy goes to... just kidding. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.